Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Rock Bay Market. Weekend plans are made better with a curated appetizer platter from the Rock Bay Market. For more information, visit rockbaymarket.ca. Introducing the Capital Daily's Weekly Photo Challenge. Each week, our team will post a weekly photo theme in Monday's Capital Daily newsletter, as well as announcing it right here on the podcast, with winners receiving gift cards to local Victoria businesses around town. This week's theme is Halloween, where we are asking for photos of your best decor, costumes, or spooky places around the island. To enter, simply email us your photo or post it directly to your own social media account. For more details, check out Monday's Capital Daily newsletter. Hi, I'm Ben Waterworth and welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. Today on the podcast,
giving back is a really important aspect of what I do. And whenever I am asked to do something like this or an opportunity presents itself, I will always say yes.
We chat with Victoria Paralympian Jessica Twomala about the Team Canada Champion Chat series and how it is helping people right across Canada increase their leadership and teamwork skills. In the last 4 weeks, the Canadian Olympic Committee and Canadian Paralympic Committee have hosted the Team Canada Champion Chat Series. The virtual series is a partnership between the two committees, as well as classroom champions, and is designed to empower Canadian students to focus on themes including embracing challenges, mental health, diversity and inclusion, achieving goals, and ultimately becoming a champion in their community. During the chats, students have been taken through a series of video challenges from a variety of Olympic and Paralympic athletes on a specific theme, presenting students a rare opportunity to connect directly with Olympic and Paralympic athletes, providing an unforgettable experience. Victoria Paralympic swimmer and triathlete Jessica Twomala has been involved in the series, and to chat a little bit more about it, it's a pleasure to welcome Jessica to the Capital Daily Podcast today. Jessica, thanks so much for your time today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit more about the Team Canada Champion Chat Series, Jessica. What exactly are they and what do they aim to achieve?
It's a way to bring mentors into classrooms across Canada. So it's a nationwide kind of project. And it's really cool because especially right now, you know, things are a little up in the air. And so it gives us ways to connect with kids and hopefully bring some, you know, fun and some motivation into those classrooms.
It incorporates a variety of different challenges, obviously, to help with what you're just saying there in terms of bringing that into the classrooms. What are some examples of the challenges that are undertaken during the sessions?
My challenge to my group was to ask them to come up with a series of questions that they actually had about our topic. So our topic is legacy, and everyone, every chat every week has a different topic. And so mine was legacy. And so I just wanted to get them thinking about legacy, because when I was actually assigned that topic, I was like, what do I do with this? And I realized that it's actually a really neat topic, because when you think of legacy, you think of this big, at least I do, big, broad picture, but it can be actually pretty small, and that's kind of exciting.
And how is the interaction with the students? You mentioned it's a nationwide program, so you've got people joining in, no doubt, from right across Canada. What enables them to interact? Is it a chat? Do they have sort of an open section where they can ask questions? How does the interaction work?
So we're working over a video chat platform, and so we're being basically broadcasted into these classrooms. And they are able to ask questions through social media. I believe the teachers have access to the chat box. And so there will be a question and answer period as well, where we definitely want to hear from the students and what they're thinking. We're also going to be doing a couple of energy activities just to make sure that we're not all just sitting around listening to us yammer at and each other.
Well, it's a really great opportunity to listen to you guys yammer, of course, and also interact with some of Canada's, you know, greatest Olympians. You've got the likes of Tessa Virtue, Benoit Huot doing these as well, and yourself and other athletes. I mean, how special is it for you guys to be able to have that interactivity with these students and interact with these kids that are wanting to learn from you guys, who are looking up to you guys? So it's sort of a unique opportunity for them at the same time.
I think it's really exciting. I think it's a really, really neat concept. I haven't seen any of the other classroom chats, but, you know, I mean, I guess it goes back to legacy. As an athlete, you kind of feel like you, well, I feel like I live this bit of a selfish life. And this is just a really neat way to connect back with people and hopefully influence communities in a positive way. And we're in some interesting times right now. And this is kind of a neat way to actually be able to talk to people. You know, we're not there, but we can be there virtually. I mean, I'm not on the West Coast right now, but my dad's classroom was even able to sign up. So I get to, well, he gets to see me anyway. So, you know, it's just a really, really cool way to give back. And I hope that the kids get something out of this.
And is that what drew you into becoming involved with this as well, Jessica? Everything you were just saying there when they approached you to be involved, kind of that giving back and making sure that the kids are getting something out of this?
Yeah, so for me, giving back is a really important aspect of what I do. And whenever I am asked to do something like this or an opportunity presents itself, I will always say yes, because we race, we train, we eat, we sleep. you know, but at the same time, like there has to be some way of having a positive influence on the world around us and I guess leaving some kind of legacy. But it's not even that. Like for me, I don't think anyone will be like Jessica Tuomo, the greatest whatever in the world. But what would be really cool is if maybe someone in the classroom chat heard our talk. Maybe it motivates them to, I don't know, become a doctor, or maybe it motivates them to draw something that they've never been comfortable drawing before. Or it's just, you know, I don't care how big or small it is, if it helps someone make a change, and then that's really cool.
Because there's all those levels to this, isn't there, where you're talking about using these classes as an experience for these kids to take on board motivation, and that they can take that however they want, as you said, become a doctor, become a leader of the future. And of course, you might even have some of these students who are getting these classrooms from yourself, Jessica, or from Tessa or someone like this, and get inspired by you to go and be a swimmer or a figure skater or something like that. There's so many layers here, isn't there, where people can hopefully take on board this and use it for the future.
And I think that's what's cool. It doesn't have to be sport, right? Like, whatever that person is passionate about or excited about, I hope they're able to take what we're saying and apply it to that and use that in their life.
And it must be the best part of your job. I mean, obviously the best part of your job probably is winning medals, Jessica, but like outside of that is
It's not. Probably shouldn't say that out loud, but
well, the second best part of your job is winning medals. This is the best part of your job, putting that experience out there.
Yes. I love this part. I love, and maybe it's a little egotistical, but that's not how I mean it. You know, like I really do hope that, you know, it does impact people.
And I can imagine too, for future potentially Paralympians, whether again, as you were talking about before, it doesn't necessarily have to be with sport, that it's about inspiring that people out there, no matter what their ability, be it physical, mental, no matter what it is, that they're capable of anything, right? And that's, I'm sure, a big message in what you try to teach people when you do talk to people.
Yeah, so for me, it's about, you know, making sure that when you, it's just about living life. Like whatever hand you're dealt, you know, try to find a way to live life and experience it and have your own experience with it. So it's okay if you have a disability, it's okay if your ethnicity is different, you know, whatever your difference is, because we all are different. That's your lived experience and there's value in that.
And of course, I mean, you've talked a bit about how this is all virtual, and given the current climate, that's sort of how it has to be. But is this something that down the track you would hope to see continuing, and potentially maybe in the future we can get back to doing this in person and you can meet these students face to face and have a chat and hear their reactions live, essentially in the room with you?
Yeah, I hope so. This is just a really neat concept. And like I said, every week they've had this powerhouse of athletes lined up. It's even, we did a testing session the other day, and we're all online. I'm like, man, all these athletes are like incredible, you know? so I really hope that we're able to continue on, and it would be really cool to be able to actually go into the classrooms and, you know, be with the kids and let them interact even more, like ask more questions. Or because if I ran something like this on my own, I would probably just talk a little and then just want the kids to ask me questions, because I think that's a really good way to learn. It's just a little bit harder when it's virtual to do it that way.
But I can imagine when you're talking to these other athletes, many of these I'm sure you probably don't ever interact with, because you're obviously mixing winter and summer para versus non-para athletes and everything along those lines. And when you're all in a room, be it virtual or non-virtual, you're all inspired by each other's achievements and kind of building on what you were saying there. That adds to what you're going to be teaching in these classes and being able to inspire these students.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I feel inspired by being in just a training session with these people for 20 minutes, figuring out how to work the technology, and I'm like, wow, this is incredible. I think it would be powerful for other students and teachers and even parents, maybe. I guess for me, I, for some reason, I don't put myself in that category, but I guess I kind of belong there. So maybe I get a little more starstruck than other people do.
It's crazy to think that, because I can always imagine as athletes, you're never focused on that aspect of it, right? People looking up to you and people saying these things about your achievements. You're out there doing it for your passion of the sport and whatever comes with it comes mm-hmm. with it. So when you are in these situations and all of a sudden you find yourself talking with Tessa Virtue, you're kind of like, okay, well, this is interesting. Hi, Tessa. How you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I remember reading off my... Someone was asking me, I don't remember, they asked me a direct question about my swimming accomplishments, and now I'm actually in triathlon. So then they were asking me questions about my triathlon accomplishments, and I started listing all these things off, and I went, whose resume is that? Because I'm like, you don't realize that these things happen, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. You got to tick those, remember those off the memory list, basically.
Well, you really do, yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that. I mean, I was just about to mention, of course, you're in the process of heading back to the Olympics. You were a swimmer 2004. You won a medal back in Sydney. You retired, but now you're back into a different sport, triathlon. I mean, what led you into, I guess, 8 years, I think it was, wasn't it, coming out of retirement to all of a sudden donning on the swimming togs and this time a bike and running shoes at the same time?
So much equipment. I swam for Team Canada from 2000 to 2008. So I retired after Beijing. And then that last year, I was in my last year of university, and there were people training in the pool next to me. And I was like, what do you do? And they're like, oh, we're triathletes. And I was like, what is that? and they explained it. I'm like, that is really cool. And I'm kind of was like, I wonder if I can do that one day. And I just sort of put it on hold, and I went about my life afterwards and moved away from sport and did some more education and worked a little bit. And then I left swimming not in a good place. And that desire for competition and the desire, in my own opinion, to do it properly hadn't really gone away. And I was like, well, it's been a while, but I wonder if I can do this. And so I just started trying, I guess, had a few really good conversations with the head coach of the paratriathlon team. And here we are 3 years later.
And it brought you to Victoria, I believe. You're now based in Victoria, are you not? You are. Mm-hmm. Great. And how have you found that transition, kind of coming out West Coast and living the West Coast lifestyle out here?
I love the West Coast lifestyle. I'm very happy about not having snow because I'm completely blind. I take public transit a lot of places, and I am very much enjoying not standing in, a knee-deep snowbank waiting for the bus to show up. So
makes it a little bit easier.
So much easier. It's a great place to live, and it's definitely a very – active community. So even if you're not an elite athlete, people are always doing things here, and that's really inspiring in and of itself. And some days it just motivates me. Like I go out for a run and I'm like, mar, 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 I don't want to run today. And then like this elderly man comes by with his walking sticks and he's like 90, and I'm like, okay, shut up and run.
Yes. There's something about it. I was driving the other day in pouring rain, and here was a guy running down the street, and I'm like, wow, there's really no excuse not to run, is there?
No. There's not.
Just go out and do it. I mean, in the lead up to the Olympics, I mean, you've done quite well. Won a bronze medal at the World Championship. You won the Paralympic test event in Tokyo. I mean, obviously the Games have been delayed a year, but I mean, how are you feeling heading into the Games when, and hopefully they eventually happen?
I'm excited. I felt like I was playing catch up anyway. I came into the triathlon scene a little bit late. I had been sitting on the couch for 8 years, so I had a lot of fitness to regain. So I don't know. I kind of looked at it as an opportunity of, well, I just have an opportunity to train more. And training was disrupted and it was different and it still is a little strange. But you do the best with what you got. And, you know, I'm really enjoying it. And I think that is really important is enjoying the process. And, you know, it's a lifestyle. And if you're comfortable living that lifestyle, and then, you know, maybe you can make something of it.
And I'm sure exactly what you're just saying there, you can use that, no doubt, in terms of these classroom activities. Your subject, of course, is legacy, but I guess you could kind of use that as a motivational tool for creating a legacy. Even when you have maybe moved on from one thing, you can move into another. And when things are like delays, like pandemics come along and kind of prevent plans, mm-hmm. you can incorporate that into that training method to, you know, inspire these students that you are doing on in these classrooms.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you got it right on. It's been very different, but I think for everyone, not just athletes, just anyone, you know? And so adapting is actually a skill and it's something you can learn and it's something that we humans don't like to do. we don't like change, and it's so cliche, but it's so true. Like when one door closes, another one opens. So, you know, this year, the Tokyo Games door closed, but you just keep going and see it as an opportunity for improvement.
Well, the Team Canada Champion Chat Series does wrap up today, and if anybody wishes to get involved in the final session, they still can by heading to championchats.olympic.ca to register and find more details. And if you want to see any of the previous sessions too, you can do so by heading to the Classroom Champions YouTube channel. Jessica, best of luck for the final session and, of course, for Tokyo next year, and we really do appreciate your time on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, all the day's news plus your weekly dose of random Aussie news next. Rock Bay Market's Appy Platter is a perfect expression of wild, seasonal and artisanally fermented foods. This week's platter features a wild chanterelle tapenade, house-smoked salmon, three unique artisanal lacto-fermented preserves and a heap of Jenny Marie's crackers. To order one, simply head to rockbaymarket.ca. To the day's news now, with a record 317 new COVID-19 cases on Saturday, 817 total weekend cases, and more than 200 new cases in each of the last 6 days, BC's Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry announced early in the week that new restrictions limiting gatherings in private homes to no more than your immediate household plus 6 others. Henry said BC will also increase the enforcement of restrictions, especially in the Fraser Health region, where the case increases are far more severe. None of the new cases reported on the weekend were on the island. After a decisive defeat for the BC Liberals in Saturday's election, party leader Andrew Wilkinson announced his resignation on Monday. While the official results of the election are pending, the BC Liberals are poised to have the lowest share seats in the BC legislature since 1991. BC Premier John Horgan acknowledged the spirited campaign from his adversary and said, "We are all better for his contributions." And Campbell River Hospital nurse Amanda Parniak has been disciplined by the BC College of Nursing Professionals for diverting the powerful narcotic hydromorphone away from pain patients. The college alleges that as far back as November 2017, Parniak was found to have diverted narcotics away from patients, including when not on duty, often in multiple doses. The college said that this interfered with other hospital operations and patients being able to receive correct doses. And before we go today, it's that time of the week for me to play this and bring you a weekly dose of random news from my homeland of Australia. This week I have the story of a school that lost a time capsule it buried 20 years ago and is baffled as to where it's gone. According to the ABC, Yarloop Primary School, which is located in the town of Yarloop in Western Australia, buried a collection of school photos, future dreams, and even a bottle of wine 20 years ago, with the intention of it to be uncovered in 2020 for a special ceremony. The problem is, now they can't find it, with excavators and other digging equipment being brought in to find it after the initial burial place under a rock resulted in nothing being found even after a 6-foot hole was dug beneath it. During one of the excavation attempts, diggers accidentally even cut a power cable, cutting power from the entire school. Principal Mark Glyhill said that they wouldn't give up and have postponed the ceremony till next year until they find it. He also said that they would plan on putting another time capsule in, although this time they would put it in the wall of a library, as he said it was hard to lose a library. I think it's clear that somebody has gone in there and stolen it, and I think they've clearly gone in after the wine, because, you know, why not? I'm sure they've tasted it. It's probably very good wine, and they've covered it up since. So there you go. Mystery solved. And that's it today for the Capital Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. Tune in tomorrow as we chat with Norwegian basketball superstar and Vikes recent recruit Christopher Hegeland about how difficult it was for him to get to Victoria during the pandemic, as well as comparing basketball cultures in both Canada and Norway. That's tomorrow on the Capital Daily Podcast. My name is Ben Waterworth, and as they say in Australia, it's nearly cricket season, in Australia at least. Thanks for tuning in, and I will speak to you tomorrow. Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Rock Bay Market. Weekend plans are made better with a curated appetizer platter from the Rock Bay Market. For more information, visit rockbaymarket.ca. Introducing the Capital Daily's Weekly Photo Challenge. Each week, our team will post a weekly photo theme in Monday's Capital Daily newsletter, as well as announcing it right here on the podcast, with winners receiving gift cards to local Victoria businesses around town. This week's theme is Halloween, where we are asking for photos of your best decor, costumes, or spooky places around the island. To enter, simply email us your photo or post it directly to your own social media account. For more details, check out Monday's Capital Daily newsletter.